Thank you, Gemma. That was lovely. In case you're not aware, this is the day that church traditionally celebrates the arrival of the Magi at the Nativity. And now for our scripture today, taken from Matthew 28, 16 through 20, which is known as the Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
We normally, during the course of the year, we normally hear from those who have been in the mission field, and we will do that this morning. So I'd like to ask the following people to come and join us up here. Shanine Miller, Morgan Miller, Alex Kurtz, and Marcus Kadich. And while they're making their way up, we're happy to announce that we have scheduled our Nicaragua delegation for 2018. We don't yet know the destination village that we will be working in, but we do know the dates, and they will be July 13th through the 22nd. And so this morning, I would like for you, as you listen to our speakers, I would like to encourage you to consider in your own mind, in your own heart, whether or not God is calling you to serve in the field side by side with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Just as we did last year, the mission board will be approving scholarships for financial aid in the course of going. The price of the trip is usually around $2,000 per person, and that includes airfare. But you can't really know what you're in for unless you hear from somebody who's been. And so that's why these individuals have volunteered to speak to you this morning. And they're going to speak to you about a certain aspect of their trip that they've considered. So first up is Shanine Miller.
Good morning. I will be talking and sharing with you about my decision to go to Nicaragua. My decision to go to Nicaragua was more of a journey, which started when the mission trip was being organized in 2016. And my daughter looked at me and said, "Can we go?" Thoughts of time off from work and money and kind of like roughing it and all other issues frantically swirled in my head, and I said, "How about we plan for next year, in 2017? I rationalized that I'd have more time off and would have more time to plan financially, since the cost would be times two. And you see how the mind is so much more open when you're young. She looked disappointed, but she accepted that, or so I thought. And little did I know, she had spoken to several other people, I think probably the right people, because they were coming up to me and saying, "I hear you're thinking about going to Nicaragua this year." And I was like, well, maybe next year, maybe. So let me tell you, I am not an outdoorsy person. That's not something I deny. My friends and family tease me, but they know that I don't like the heat, bugs, or being without my hair dryer and diffuser. In fact, when we came home, my mom said to me she was worried about me more than Morgan in Nicaragua. She said, "You never handled the heat very well, even as a little girl, and you know, Morgan's tough." I was like, "Okay, thanks, Mom." But the Lord didn't give up on me. Those right people mentioned previously spoke to us about how the trip was coordinated and organized, their experiences there, the finances and everything. And I started to realize that this was happening. So we started planning for 2017. At that point, I can say I was actually excited about going, about the adventure and the work and the relationships that awaited. Then we had our first meeting, and I thought, what did I get myself into? But I gathered up my faith and forged ahead with planning, and that's where you come in. If you have ever given money to support our mission work here at church, participated in a fundraiser for mission work, prayed for our mission work and or our missionaries, you are part of making the trip happen. And specifically, our church family and friends who read and prayed over our fundraising letter and acted by supporting us financially and prayerfully, you were also part of making this trip happen personally for us. I think I speak for everyone who went on this trip and every previous trip for that matter, that we thank you. Thank you for listening to God or feeling the Lord moving your heart or however God speaks to you and making the work specifically in Nicaragua possible. So after physicals, shots for weird things like typhoid, buying things I never thought about buying before in my life, like mosquito nets. Remember, I'm not a fan of bugs. Organizing life for several months and finally packing, it was time to go. And we went. And I have to say, there were so many things that happened on that trip where God confirmed that this was why we were there. And I'll share a couple instances with you. On our trip, there was a woman from another church in our group named Thor. She was raised in El Salvador and came to the States when she was 20. And as a funny side story, she spoke no English when she came here. And when she was in the airport, she went to McDonald's and didn't know how to say anything in English. So she pointed to a Big Mac and learned how to say Big Mac in English. And for 2 weeks, she ate only Big Macs because that was the only thing she knew how to say until she got the nerve to point to McNuggets. So she was fun, she was warm, loving, and just a beautiful person. We were on our second day of VBS with the kids, and Floor and I were responsible for the stories, me through a translator, and Floor spoke fluent Spanish. So this day, Floor was reading the creation story in Spanish to them. She had them coming up and pretending to be stars and fish and flowers, and the kids were just soaking it in and laughing and smiling. And in that moment, seeing Floor connecting with those kids about Jesus in that little schoolroom where it was 95-ish degrees and we were all drenched with sweat, I got the chills. I literally shivered and had what I call Jesus bumps. I felt like Jesus tapped me on the shoulder and said, "This is why I wanted you here." It was pretty incredible. There was another day we were walking back from dinner, and I heard one of the little girls yell, "Hello, Janine." Morgan had taught them how to greet us in English. I smiled and waved at Lady, was her name, and then had to stop and take in the beauty of seeing those kids and Morgan hugging and realizing how much she had bonded with them, sharing the love of Jesus and one-on-one attention for those few days we were there that they craved. My heart was so happy, and I realized Jesus was saying again, "This is why I wanted you here." This trip was life-altering in more ways than I can count. Morgan wanted to go back before we even left. We'll see what God has in store. As I mentioned, my decision was certainly a journey of uncertainty, persuasion, gratefulness, resolve, and in the end, faith. But ultimately, it was God's decision, and I just went along for the ride, and it was amazing.
Most of you know, my first international mission trip was to Some of the things that we did while we were there, we were part of a clean water project. So that was to re-educate a lot of the citizens in the community about their water filters, about how to clean them, about how to properly use them, and any repairs necessary, and how to fix them. Some of the projects we were a part of were construction projects, and we took part in VBS during the afternoons for the kids in both the communities. So those were really special things to be a part of, and I know it was really easy to get stuck thinking about the dates or the deadlines associated with those different tasks to get done. It's really easy to think, okay, we should get this much of the foundation done on this day, or we need to start VBS at this time. But quickly, we realized that Nipawin time works a little differently than American time did. They're a lot more laid back. It's more of when it happens type of mentality. Not to say that these people are lazy by any means, but I think that their priorities are more aligned with Jesus's. They invest in a person. They take time to talk to you, to see how you're doing, to be where their feet are. And isn't that what Jesus did too? We were there to show Jesus' love through our service, through the Clean Water Project, through the construction, through VBS. But at the end of the day, the Nicaraguan people showed us Jesus' love through their fellowship. I remember the first night that we were there, we went around the table and they said to describe our experience so far on the trip in one word. And most of the people used words like excited or grateful, words of anticipation. I was thinking of the right one and all I could say was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by all the people and a different language, new living conditions. It was a lot to get used to. But that same night, I was sitting there on the porch looking up at the stars. I had heard that this many stars existed, but this is the first time that I got to see them all for myself. And these two little girls came over and they sat next to me and we just looked up at the stars. No words necessary. Just sitting there in awe of God's creation, overwhelmed by Him, and showing each other God's love. Thank you.
Good morning.
All right, so let me set the scene for you. 23 people, ranging in a variety of different ages, backgrounds, and goals, meet for the first time at an airport in Managua, Nicaragua. We're all basically strangers to each other, having no idea who really anyone is or what is about to come our way in the coming week. I can tell you now that I have never felt closer to my church family that came with me for this trip or the people that I met while I was there. We traveled together to the Amos compound. Amos is a mission of sharing health and hope. To begin learning about the service we would be completing in these villages of La Consulta and Rancho Pando. This is where it starts. In the rural communities where Amos works, less than 20% of families have safe drinking water. To date, Amos has installed over 1,100 water filters in 19 communities in conjunction with community leaders and many short-term mission teams. As of 2016, 48.3% of families have access to clean drinking water. We worked with the communities to supervise and make slight repairs to these filters as they had been installed prior to us being there. The system is a closed system involving two buckets, a microfiber filter that cleans out almost 99% of bacteria, a tube, and a spigot. It's truly that simple to helping these families in these communities be healthy. Did you know that diarrhea is the second leading cause of death in the world in children under 5? I sure didn't. This disease is treatable and preventable, and yet is the second leading cause of death in these children. We were able to speak to the families in the community with filters about how they were working, how often they used them, how often they cleaned them, and if there were any issues with the health of the family or the filter itself.
We repaired almost every one back to fully functional, and there was only one case of diarrhea, and it was solved, and everyone was okay. Following up, some of us were part of the Clay Pot Initiative, which helps keep the water cooler. In fact, while we were there, 71 clay pots were delivered to 3 separate communities, which ultimately served 436 people. Water filters were the main goal while we were there, but there were also 2 construction projects going on. In La Consulta, we were making improvements to the clinic annex. We mixed cement and applied stucco to the walls. In Rancho Pando, we were constructing a clinic annex from the ground up. We dug foundation, assembled rebar columns, mixed cement, and laid blocks. However, not all of what we did was hard labor. We also did VBS with the kids in these 2 communities. There was the story that my mom has previously talked about with Floor, crafts, and games. Games were typically the fan favorite among the children. I have never seen kids so excited about something as simple as bubbles. And these kids were really good at soccer. They would kick our butts every time. I believe that this was also part of our job while we were there. Our job was to make connections with these people, the kids especially. They craved the attention and laughter from anyone that they could find. Yes, it was nice knowing some Spanish going as I could communicate with them, but there was really no language barrier. Laughter is a universal language, and that's all you were doing with these kids was laughing and having fun. The smile on their faces and the way that their eyes would light up whenever you asked them to play in and of itself was worth the entire trip alone. There was a river within walking distance. It was gorgeous. It only came up to about your ankles, but if you walked a little further down the path, you could get to a part where you were able to swim in. There was a huge rock. It was about 20-ish feet tall. And the kids were so excited to show us. They dragged us there and begged us to come in the water with them. They were filled with pure joy whenever they were able to show us how they did flips off the rock, and they would want to jump in with us. So we would all swim over to the rock. We would climb this huge monstrosity, and we would stand in one big line at the very edge and hold hands. We would count down from 3 and jump. And in that moment, I felt the pure bliss that these kids had to be feeling at the same time, too. When we were done, we would have to go back to eat dinner. They would sit outside of this house and just wait for us to be done. All of us together would make our way back up to the clinic porch, where we would all sit and play games and laugh before going to bed to do it all again the next day. Psalm 127:3 states that children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. These children were truly the best gift. I hope that our impact on them stays with them for a very long time. I truly believe that talking with these people, not just the children, was part of our job as well. We were able to talk to them about their families and pray with them, and they prayed for us too. It was truly a life-changing experience that I am so grateful that I was able to take part of, and I hope to do again. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. You'll have to bear with me because this is my first time really speaking at the pulpit. I've only done the call to worship before. Let me see. So Alex was supposed to talk about the need for additional workers. Since he's not here and my script is rather short, I think I'll try to cover his topic. There's obviously a lot of things we can do to help the poorer communities in Nicaragua. We worked on water filters, we worked on construction projects, even just stuff like bringing the community together through VBS. There's a job for everyone here, no matter what your skill set, no matter what your strengths and weaknesses are. If you like tools, you can work in construction. If you like people, you can be one of the leaders for VBS. So it really, there's a lot of opportunities no matter what you can and can't do. And it's a good idea to have a lot of workers because obviously there's so much work that can be done to help these people. And the more people we have, the more we can get done in every community. And we can make the world a better place by being the hands and feet of God. Now, one of the things that, not one of the things, there were a lot of things that I worried about when I was making the decision about whether or not to go on the trip, which I feel like many of you would have those same concerns. You know, you're worried about diseases and killer bees and heat stroke and all this crazy stuff. But I really have to say, my perception of what it would be like before going and what it was like when I got there were so different. There were problems, but they were few and far between. They were little and they were dealt with. There's a solution to everything. You know, there's plenty of precautions taken. There's mosquito nets, you know. There's plenty of water to stay hydrated. We have clean drinking water. You can take vaccines before you go to protect from diseases. So a lot of those concerns are kind of mitigated. They don't really matter. Another big concern that some people in the congregation might have is money. But as most of you know, probably, the mission board can give out scholarships. And the people in this church who can't go on the trip are more than willing to donate, which is how I fundraise to go. I want to thank everyone who donated and everyone who prayed, because it was really a big help. It allowed me and my sister to go on the trip, two people from the same family. So thank you for all your donations and your prayers. And now the one big issue, the one that I faced before making the decision to go, was the fact that I didn't feel that I could be prepared. Like, I didn't think I had the ability to go on this trip and make it a success for me. I was worried that, you know, whatever came, I wouldn't be expecting it. And I thought a lot about it, you know, the fact that I didn't feel prepared. And then I realized that I could do everything in the world and I still wouldn't feel prepared to go on the trip. But that didn't matter, because the trip itself was such a worthwhile experience. Amos is a wonderful organization. They do a lot of good work. You get to be a part of something greater than yourself. You know, going into an impoverished community and getting to meet all these people who are less fortunate than you and helping them out, really, it does change your life. Even though everyone says that, it is true. And if the reason you don't want to go on the trip is because you feel you won't be prepared, you won't be prepared, but you should just jump in, you know. Get out of your comfort zone and you will not regret it, because the trip was one of the greatest experiences of my life, and I'm sure that all of you would gain something from going on a mission trip to Nicaragua as well. Thank you.
I'd like to thank those who are volunteering to speak. They did a wonderful job. And Marcus is right. You can't prepare for Nicaragua. If you've not been, you have no idea what you're going into. And somebody like myself or Tim or Linda Wagner, who's been there, I don't know how many times has Linda been. She tried to prepare me for what it was going to be, and she's a wonderful resource. And you can't be prepared for what you're going to face. And it's not bad things, it's good things. You're blessed beyond comparison. But the really cool thing is we get to go and we get to do something more than it is for us. If you're going because you want a change in your life, that's absolutely the wrong reason to go. The reason we go is to change the lives of others. And through that, we are changed, which is a very worthwhile reason to go. And so I would encourage you, if you've listened to this, if some part of this has spoken to you, we, the mission board, will be available after worship to talk to you about going on a mission trip this year. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Nicaragua, although we would like that. It doesn't necessarily, because we have trips that are planned by ABCOPAD and by American Baptist Churches USA and other organizations that we can help with. We don't just do Nicaragua. We don't just do one thing. We are here to provide opportunities wherever you'd like to serve. So we're going to have our closing hymn. Would you please, if you are able, please stand, and I will ask the deacons to prepare for communion. Thank you.